Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, as we continue our series on the life of John the Baptist and coming to the end of the series. I don't know just how much longer we'll have in this study, but it's been a tremendous blessing. We learned that John ushered in the New Testament church age. And a tremendous example for the New Testament believer in what we are to do, and that is to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is to see John and how he was a forerunner for the Lord Jesus. Well, we've studied several things, first of all, about what Jesus said about John. And what he said about him ought to help us want to learn all that the Bible records about John the Baptist, because we want to learn as an example for Christianity. And so it's just a tremendous blessing, all that Jesus said about him. And then we studied how God prepared his parents to raise him and how important that is. And then we got into the life of John himself and all that was taking place, prepared for 30 years to have a 6 month to a 1 year public ministry. And yet in that 6 months to 1 year impacted the world like no one else before him. I mean, he was a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a great ministry he had. It's not the longevity of the ministry, it is the power of that life that God worked through and used. And so we find that now John has been placed in prison. Now, right after he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw the dove coming down and lighting upon him looking at that as a Holy Spirit of God, knowing that to be the Holy Spirit of God, heard the very voice of God speaking from heaven, saying, "This is my Son." And then we find after that, John points his disciples to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And everything is just going just great for John. I mean, people were coming out to hear him preach. He was accomplishing great things. And then, of course, Herod heard him preach on adultery and heard him preach on all of his sins. And Herodias gets all upset and she puts pressure on Herod, and Herod has him arrested. And so now John's in prison. And while John's in prison, he's taken away from his life the only life he's ever known, the outdoors. And now he's confined in this prison cell and cold and dark and damp. And a lot of things going on under a lot of oppression, Satan trying to really beat him down. And he hears about Jesus out there just doing the work, and he never visited him one time. Hadn't been to the prison house, hadn't done this. And so all the different things taking place in John's life. And we studied last week how John doubted. Doubt came into the heart and the mind of John the Baptist. Now, that was kind of hard for us to even read, that he doubted Christ. We look at John and see him as a powerful Christian man, and yet we find that the Bible records that he had doubt. And I'm so thankful, and we studied that last week, thankful about how God does reveal all things about the life of John, which helps us to know that if John could fall to doubt, every one of us have a tendency to fall into the sin of doubt. And we do. We face it on a regular basis, some more than others. But it was recorded for our learning. And we studied the reasons for doubt. And one of the statements I made last week, and I think very important, is because it's for most, they have too many questions and not enough biblical answers. If you don't have the biblical answers and you only have these unanswered questions, you will continue to get deeper and deeper into doubt. And before you know it, you'll come up with answers that are not biblical, and that will take you away from the will of God. And so we looked at John. We studied much about that. We know that he had doubt. Looked at the reason for the doubt. There was a physical attack. There was a mental attack on the mind of John. And there was a spiritual attack on John. And these are going to weaken us as well. When we come under physical attacks, our faith will be weakened. We come under mental attacks, our faith can be weakened. When we come under a spiritual attack, especially, you know, without having all of the knowledge of the reasons why, you know, why I'm going through this, why this is happening, we can fall into the sin of doubt. Okay? So tonight we're looking at this passage, Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Go ahead and stand with me. And the message tonight is what we should do when we face doubt. Amen? What should we do when we're dealing with doubt? We have doubts in our hearts, especially when it comes to what we believe. And that's what's most important, is our spiritual strength and knowing what we believe. And so here, chapter 11, we're going to read once again, verse 1, but we're going to read all the way down to verse 5 tonight. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you tonight, thank you for opportunity that you made available for all of us that are here to be here. And God, you know exactly what we're fighting tonight, what kind of battles each one here is enduring. And we know that as we fight these physical and emotional and spiritual battles, that if we're not careful, the devil can get in there and place doubt in our own hearts and our minds. And I just pray tonight, God, that we would learn from this example of John the Baptist and be strengthened through the teaching of thy word tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. What we should do when facing doubts. Can I tell you tonight that how we respond to our doubts will determine what our doubts do to us? It's how we respond to doubt will determine what that doubt will do to you. And doubt can destroy. Doubt is unbelief. It leads to unbelief. And boy, when you stop believing, you are a target. And Satan will just continue to sift you as wheat and do whatever he can to destroy. But how we respond to our doubts, not if we're going to ever face doubts, because we will face doubts. It's a tool that Satan has used, starting with Eve in the garden there, trying to get her to doubt what God said, trying to get her to doubt who God was, trying to doubt just what she could have. And God was limiting her and doubting that God wanted her to be limited on what she could have. All the different things. We find that it's been something that Satan has used from the very beginning of time. And we look into the scriptures, there's many examples of those that have been destroyed by unbelief and been destroyed by doubt. And so John the Baptist, I mean, what a powerful figure for this New Testament church age to look to. We've been studying that all along. Powerful example for us to look to. And now we come to the end of John's life, toward the end of his life, and we find that God, that John is struggling with doubt. We're not to live with doubt. Doubts are going to come up in our hearts and our minds. We cannot allow doubt to stay in our hearts and our minds and live with this doubt. Now, John chapter 20, I want you to go over there with me. John chapter 20, you have to first of all realize that doubt is a sin. Doubt is not God's will for your life. If you are harboring doubt and unbelief and you're battling with this thing, it's not God's will for you to live in doubt. And doubt, the whatever it might be that God's will for your life, doubt who you are, doubt your salvation, doubt whether or not the Bible's real. I would go on and on and on. I mean, if you look at your life, there's not a person here, not a saved person in here that hasn't at some time said, Lord, if I wasn't saved then, save me now. When you go through doubt, I mean, you want to know that you're saved, and you know, especially when you just read the scriptures concerning hell, and or so you just heard a powerful message on hell, and you're thinking, well, I got to know for sure that I'm saved, and so I think I am, but I don't, Lord, if I wasn't saved then, I know now. I want you to be my Savior. Save me now, you know. And so, I mean, there's not a, that's something that Satan tries to get you to doubt your salvation. If he can get you to doubt your salvation, he will limit you and you're on your effectiveness for Christ. How can you convince somebody else if you're not convinced yourself? It's something that Satan has used all along. And so as we look here, one of the great examples coming from the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ was Thomas. Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas. That's right. Now, any one of the other disciples, if they had missed out on seeing Christ when he came through the doors and seeing him alive and standing before them with the doors locked and shut behind, knowing that he actually came through the walls, any one of the other disciples, he was the only one that wasn't there. Okay? If they had not had that experience, they would have all continued to be in doubt because they were doubting before that. Thomas just wasn't there. You don't want to miss out on a service, amen, because God has something for you. And if you don't get that, then you're going to have doubt concerning maybe just what you needed. We know that about Thomas. Well, we find here, if you look on with me to John chapter 20 and verse 27, now Thomas comes. Now, he had just told the other disciples in verse 25, he said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I think that's doubt. Amen. That's what Thomas, that's his mentality right now. Christ comes. He sees him. Now he knows what every one of the other disciples had already experienced. Look what Jesus says, verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas felt about that big about it then, you know. Don't doubt me, Thomas. Don't be faithless. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Wow. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The entire church age. Amen. That's what he was referring to. You know, the entire church age. Once I'm gone, they won't see me physically like you have. It's not the will of God. We live by faith. But be thou faithless. Be not faithless. So there's no doubt about it. We know that it is sin. God does not want us to live without faith. He does not want us to live a life of doubt. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews in chapter 11. You got to get this settled in your heart and mind. I cannot allow doubt to continue to linger on in my heart and my mind. Hebrews in chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. It's not from God, it's from evil, it's from an evil spirit. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Ultimately, if doubt conquers us, we will leave the will of God. It's a tool that Satan uses, and it's an evil tool. It's an evil spirit that tries to put that doubt in your heart and your mind and try to convince you that it's true. There is no God. It's just a big game. There's no need to be in church. Church is just for weak-minded people who need a crutch. On and on and on. I mean, that's the world. That's what Satan, that evil spirit's going to try to convince you of these things and plant that doubt in your mind. And if you believe that and that doubt conquers you, then you will leave the will of God. There's no doubt many have left biblical churches because of doubt. Turned away from a biblical lifestyle because of doubt. Turned away from biblical convictions because of doubt. Doubting whether or not God wants me to be in church. Doubting whether or not the church is really important. Doubting whether or not this Bible is the Word of God. Doubting whether or not that God really means what He says. Is the Bible the very words of God? Or can we take it any way we want to take it and it'll be all right with God? These narrow-minded people think there's only one way to heaven. Surely God would not only have one way to heaven, He would not discipline or judge somebody that sincerely believed that they could get to heaven some other way. And there's doubt planted right there. And so when you start believing that and you look around, before you know it, then you'll go the way of that. And that's out of the... God means what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. When you have understanding of the Scriptures, you know what to believe and don't go away from the Scriptures. But doubt. Satan will blind you to that. He'll get you to look at everybody else. Sure, that's a good person. There's no way that person's going to spend eternity in hell because they're good people. Now, they might be living worldly lives and they might not believe in church and they might not read their Bible. They might not even pray, but they're just good moral people. And that'll put doubt in your mind as to the reality of biblical convictions. That if a person does not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And so when that creeps in, then you start attacking the church. Can't believe the narrow-minded preacher preaches that. I can't believe that we have certain standards of dress and certain standards of music and certain standards of all appearance and on and on and on. No, they're not looking at the Scriptures. They're starting to doubt what's being taught. Doubt conquers, we'll leave the will of God and we'll leave biblical churches. Especially when, well, all these other churches can't be wrong. Yeah. Well, John addresses his doubts. The first thing to look, what do we do? What should we do when facing doubts? John is still an example to us. Amen. Everybody agree with that? John the Baptist. Jesus is revealing to us that he's human. And he's fighting some of the very same battles. Even though he is a great man of God, a powerful man of God, he still, when all this was going on in his life, he battled doubt. But I love how John addressed the doubt. The first thing that John did, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, when he heard the works of Christ, possibly that he had left the area. Because now that's what verse 1 says. He departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. He's leaving without coming and delivering me from this prison. He's leaving without ever coming and visiting me. All these different things going on in his life. So he's under attack in his thinking, and he's already been under attack in his physical life. He's not been eating right. He's had all this time. He's been cooped up in this jail cell. Everything is off on his eating. Everything is off now on what his thinking now is starting to be hindered, and hard telling what Satan put in his mind. He doesn't have the New Testament to go to read how it all turns out. So spiritually, he doesn't have all that he needs to be able to put two and two together. So what does he do? He sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John addressed his doubts. John took action to face his doubts. He didn't cover them up and say, well, I'm afraid what he'll think if I tell him I don't know for sure that he is the one. Well, what will everyone else in the church think if I go forward for salvation? You're really going to let what other people think keep you from going to heaven? well, I should know that, and if I ask questions, they're going to think that I don't know anything about the Bible. I'm spiritually dumb, ignorant. Well, you might be. But the only way to get the right answers is to ask the questions. If you have doubt, can I tell you that you have to address your doubts? Do you not believe that there's really reasons, the scriptural teachings on why we do what we do? You don't think for 2,000 years the church has been doing what God has instructed the church to do without any basis for that? You don't think that this Lighthouse Baptist Church has been pretty much a teaching and preaching the very same truths for some 30 years and have not changed on any of our doctrinal stands and beliefs? You don't think there's reasons why we're preaching and teaching the very same things that we have since day one? We need to face those doubts. He's the one that pointed everybody to Jesus. He's the one that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world." He baptized him, and now he has these doubts. And he knows a lot of, he's battling a lot of things right now. But he didn't just try to cover the doubts up. He said, "I'm going to let him know that I have doubts." Because he wanted to get the solutions. He wanted to get rid of the doubt. You can't live with doubt. If you live with doubt, it will eventually conquer you. And if it conquers you, you will be out of the will of God. In saying that, don't try to find contentment without resolution. I'm just going to try to be content with these doubts. No, get that resolved. I don't know that I'm saved, but I don't want to deal with it any longer. I'm just going to try to be content. And go ahead and come to church and try to live the Christian life without knowing that I'm saved. Listen to me, that will destroy you eventually. You can only put on a front for so long. You can only keep you going for so long. If you do not have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you cannot continue indefinitely. You will fail and you will fall and you will go away from the will of God. It's all a game outside of knowing that you're saved. Just going through the motions and just playing a game. God does not want us to play a game with the most important decisions of our lives. If God is real, and He is, then I need to learn about Him. I need to know Him. I need to draw closer to Him. I don't come to church to play a game. I come to church to be spiritually fed. Come to church to grow in my faith. Because the more I grow in my faith, the less doubt will have a part of my life. Now, if we can dismiss doubts, then do it. Sometimes, I mean, we live in the flesh and all these things, and doubts will just come to mind. You know, I mean, different thoughts will come to mind. If you can, at that time, when that doubt comes, if you can dismiss it and say, "Where did that come? Satan, get behind me. I know I'm saved. I'm not going back there again. I've dealt with that long enough. I know it. I worked it out. I went through the scriptures. I know I'm not... Feelings do not save anybody. Salvation is based on the facts of what thus saith the Lord." On a God who cannot lie. If you've done what God says you need to do from your heart, believing by faith, exactly what God says to do, you are saved. Stop letting Satan hinder you with that doubt. And so when that comes back up, come on, get behind me. I'm not going back there again. I know I'm saved. Dismiss it. Just dismiss it. But if it lingers on and you can't dismiss it, we have to do something about it. Because we have to have peace about what we believe. Whether it's that dreaded call to the preacher. Go to the principal's office. I have so many people tell me that. Preacher, it's like coming to the principal's office when you... I don't know why. I don't think I'm that hard to talk to. Amen. My grandkids love me. That's right. They get peanut butter every time they come into my office. I mean... No, you have to have peace about it. You have to have peace about it. Especially when it comes to spiritual truths. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you would read how many times the Bible says in writing in the scriptures, no. If you just do a research, a Bible study on how many times the Bible says to the Christian, no, it'll amaze you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Don't doubt that. My goodness, the only comfort in death is life. And so when you lose a loved one, there's going to be some sorrow. There's going to be some mourning. But listen to me, we don't mourn as those without hope. Why? Because I have confidence to know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Not only for all of those, but for me as well. That takes away a lot of the fear of death. The sting of death is the knowledge of eternal life. He goes on down in verse 6, he says, therefore we are always confident. Knowing. If you don't know that you can't have confidence in what you don't know. But if you know it, then you can have confidence in it. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that. We have to walk by faith. But we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I just know that. I know that. Philippians in chapter 1. Philippians in chapter 1. Verse 6. Paul writing here to the church of Philippi. I mean, all of the churches that he had to encourage them to know. In the book of Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Throughout your life, if Christ does not return, God is going to do a work in and through your life. He's been doing that for some 2,000 years now, over 2,000 years now, in every believer's life. That's what the Bible says. You have to be confident. Been doing that for over 2,000 years. I'm sure he's not going to stop with me. But I believe he'll continue on doing the very same thing in your life as well. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, salvation, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will continue to work through your life, if you'll let him. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 12. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I know, and because I know, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day for his entire life, for his entire life. John was facing death. He needed to get rid of any doubt in his heart and his mind. John knew, I can't die with this doubt. You get on your deathbed, amen, you know that your life on this earth is just about over. You better not have any doubt. And if you have doubt, you better make sure that you get rid of it. I know early on in my ministry, God had been working on my heart to surrender to full-time ministry. And I remember thinking, I don't want to do this just to follow my brother who's in the ministry. I don't want to do this just relying on what my parents taught me. I don't want to do this in relying on what I was being taught at the Bible college that I was attending. I remember thinking, this is my life. And it's going to change drastically. I've got to know. Based on God. And I remember just spending some time in prayer, in a prayer closet, and it's never stopped. That's my favorite time. Just get alone, just me and the Lord, and spending time. It just reminds me, it takes me all the way back to the very beginning. And I got out the doctrines of our faith. I got out what independent fundamental Baptists believed. And I looked up every verse. And I prayed, God, you reveal it to me. Help me to know within my heart and in my mind, it is your will. It is your doctrine. It's what you've left for mankind. I'm so glad I did that. I've never doubted that since. I got it settled early on. And I was able to give myself to those doctrines because I realized it's not the doctrine of man. It's the doctrines of God. And every time when I open this Bible up to read and study and to prepare for messages, I know that this is what everyone needs. More than anything else, what you have need of that will get rid of doubt in your heart and in your mind is the Word of God. And all I'm doing is reinforcing. Every time I prepare for a message, I reinforce what I already believe and ask God to help me to be used to help others. Praise the Lord. John addressed his doubts. If you have doubts, don't try to hide those doubts. Don't find contentment without resolution. The second thing we find that John did, look back there with me. He didn't hold it in. He's going to know I'm doubting. I want him to know that I'm not, right now with everything I've got going on, I don't know for sure, and I am not going to die without knowing for sure. The second thing, John took his doubts to the Lord. And I can relate to that because that's what I did. I didn't go to the professor. I didn't go to the pastor. I didn't want that to be my motivation. I wanted to, first of all, go to the Scriptures myself. John took his doubts to the Lord. The main source for spiritual truth is God. Verse 2 and 3, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou? I want you to tell me once again. I need to know. I need to hear it from you. Has God given you peace concerning what you believe? That might be why you have doubts. You've been seeking it from everyone else. You got to get it from God. Whether you get into a prayer closet, even if you have to stay there 2 days, don't leave that closet. Don't leave that communion with God until you get peace. Amen. I know one thing. If you let doubt stay around, it'll conquer you. And when it conquers you, you will be out of the will of God. Scriptures were given for us to be able to believe. John chapter 20. Look back over there with me. We've seen this is the same passage of Scripture that he dealt with Thomas. But he gave us a powerful truth right here at the end of this. John chapter 20. Everybody with me tonight? Amen? There's something we're all going to face from time to time. John chapter 20, look in verse 30. Now we just read the earlier part of that. And Thomas says, "My Lord, my God, how foolish was I? Forgive me if you will. I'll never doubt you again." That all came through. Okay, that's what Thomas was telling the Lord. And then the Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe." Don't have to look to signs and wonders. Don't have to look to all the miracles. Look to what he's written down and preserved for us. He did a lot of other things at that time for his apostles. Praise the Lord for that. They needed that. They did not have the completion, the full revelation of the Word of God. But he says to us, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing ye might have life through his name." Amen. Scriptures were given for us to be able to believe. So if you have doubt, spend the time with God and the Bible. Spend the time with God and say, "God, speak to me through your word." John 5. 1 John chapter 5, very familiar. Almost everyone in here would be able to quote most of these verses in John chapter, 1 John chapter 5. But have you really looked at what it's saying? Verse 11, "And this is a record." What is that? What's been written down and recorded and preserved? The Bible. This is the record, the Bible, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Don't be confused. It's not through works. It's not through baptism. It's not through any other way. He that hath the Son of hath life. No matter who, if you don't have the Son, you hath not life. "And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may," there that word again, "know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Yeah. Written down. Written down. Most important thing is salvation. But everything else that God's written down is important too. No, you shouldn't doubt salvation, but you shouldn't doubt the other truths of God either. Don't get away from the Bible. Don't be listening to other people. Don't be listening to other so-called ministries. You get your information through the Word of God. John knew that he was battling physical, mental, and spiritual attacks. I believe what John was saying when he took his doubt to the Lord, he was saying, "Jesus, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." He knew he was battling all this, but he wanted Jesus to know, "I'm doubting now. All this is coming. It's more than I can handle. I've got to hear you say it once again. I've got to hear it from you. Jesus, I do believe, but help thou mine unbelief." Yeah. What'd you say? "I want to believe. I want to believe." Doubt, Satan is using that and he is hammering me. "Lord, help thou mine unbelief." The last thing, what Jesus did for John. What Jesus did for John. Verse 4 and 5. Jesus answered. He knew it. He knew exactly what was going on. And said to them, "Go and show John," and I love this right here. You might underline that, "again." Again and again and again and again. Sometimes we need it again and again and again and again and again. especially if we're going through some of the hard things that John went through. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Everything that John would have already known. He didn't rebuke him. He rebuked Thomas. He didn't rebuke John. He knew that John wanted to get rid of doubt. Nothing wrong with asking questions. There's nothing wrong with just coming clean and says, I've got doubts, but I want to get them resolved. I don't want to just live with doubt. I don't want to try to learn to be content with these doubts. I got to get it resolved. He knew John wanted to get rid of doubt. He wasn't looking for an excuse or a reason to quit or to give up or go to a liberal church. He wasn't looking for an excuse to go back and say, Herod, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have preached what I preached. I shouldn't have called your wife an adulteress. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it. That's not what John wanted to do. But no doubt he was under the temptation to think, I can get out of this if I just go back and say, I'm sorry for representing Christ. I'm sorry for preaching what I preached. I'm sorry for standing where I stood. He wasn't looking to get out of that. No. That's why Jesus didn't rebuke him. He knew he wanted to get rid of the doubt. And so he said to John, go tell him just to review everything that he's already been taught. John was told to remember what he had already been taught and what he had already been told as to what was to take place. You know what that comes down to? A phrase that I use possibly more than anything else to help people. Know what you know. Satan's just trying to blind you to what you already know. Don't forget what you've already learned. What a great truth. It's exactly what Jesus was telling John. I know you're going through a lot, John, and I know that in just a few days you're going to see God. You're going to experience glory, and you're going to understand everything that you don't understand right now. Just know what you know. Don't let Satan talk you out of what you've already been taught. What God's already taught you. Can I tell you tonight, in closing, we can't hear the truth too many times. Every time you hear the gospel preached, it just solidifies your belief in salvation. Amen. Don't ever get tired of hearing the gospel preached. Don't ever get tired of hearing about Jesus dying on the cross, resurrecting on the third day. Don't ever get tired of somebody telling you what you must do to be saved. You need to hear it over and over again. Jesus says again and again. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're done. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter realized, I need to hear it over and over again. And God uses him to write this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. I'm sorry, I think it's 2 Peter. Let me get over there. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, Peter writes this. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. Though you know them. And be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Can I tell you, he learned what Jesus said about John. He was there. He heard John's disciples come to Jesus and say, he's not sure that you're the one. Do we look for another? And Peter's thinking, whoa, John the Baptist? He reached my brother and my brother reached me. And now he doesn't know? I guarantee you, Peter turned his eyes and his ears toward Jesus to see what he would say. And what he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 was exactly what he heard Jesus tell the disciples of John to go tell John. Know what you know. It'll get rid of doubt. If I could have ever head bowed and ever eye closed. What we should do when we face doubts. When we face doubts, don't think you're not going to. You will. Don't try to hide them. Face them. Take them to the Lord. Look to His Word. And ultimately, don't forget what He's already taught us. Don't forget. I'm not going to have a musical invitation tonight, but there's an invitation if you need to come for whatever reason. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, I've been trying to live convincing myself that I know that I'm saved and I don't have that peace. I don't have that confidence. Don't try to find contentment without resolution. The help that you need. Read the Bible when it comes to what the Bible says about salvation. There's evidence of salvation in every born-again believer. You have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. But only you know that. And no one else can do it for you. You have to believe and receive yourself. Anyone else? Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the study on the life of John the Baptist. I pray that you'd help us all to be strengthened by this understanding of how to handle doubt when it comes to our hearts and our minds. I pray that we would be strengthened by it. I pray now that you'd watch over us, get us home safely tonight, bring us back to the next appointed hour in Jesus' name.